AM 1160 The Quest welcomes you to Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues, primarily legislative issues in the Georgia General Assembly, but also some national issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Issues critical to restoring and protecting a culture that enable families to flourish and the kingdom of God to advance. Your hosts are Patty DeCraney and Jane Robbins. Jane worked at the Georgia Legislature and has maintained her connections there, so she's plugged in under the gold dome. Now, here's Jane and Patty.
Hello and welcome to Legislation Made Simple. Things are beginning to buzz at the Georgia Capitol, and we are glad you tuned in so we can fill you in on the latest. Today's discussion is about obscenity in our school libraries. Yes, I said that right. Obscenity in our school libraries. Although distribution of sexually explicit material to minors is illegal under both federal and state laws, under Georgia's current law, libraries are exempt from this. One of the bills we were following last year, Senate Bill 7-4, Harmful Materials to Minors, Exemption for Libraries and Librarians, passed the Senate last year and had a hearing in a House subcommittee this past week. It passed the subcommittee. Hallelujah. Right, Jane?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Jane was there for the subcommittee hearing, as well as our special guest today, Priscilla Bentz, who was instrumental in getting the positive outcome. As we record on Thursday, we're waiting to see what the full committee does with the bill. We are so happy to celebrate these hopeful developments with you on air, Priscilla. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We always start our show with invoking the intercession of the great St. Thomas More, the patron saint of lawyers, politicians, and our show. St. Thomas More, pray for us. And I want to just mention scripture, Matthew 18:6, that just pertains to this today. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. I went to Israel a couple of years ago, and I saw some of these millstones. I would not want that fastened around my neck. And obscenity distributed to children, why do we even need a bill to stop this? Jane, would you please introduce our guest?
Yes, I'll be happy to. I will mention a bumper sticker that I saw one time that said, "We're going to need more millstones." And sometimes we feel that way with all of the attacks on our children. But today we are delighted to have Priscilla Bentz with us. Priscilla is a retired registered nurse. She's an Army veteran, a major, who lives in Columbia County near Augusta. She is one of the most respected and persevering leaders in Georgia on this issue, and she is active in a statewide group called Georgians for Responsible Libraries, and we will put a link to this website in our show notes. Priscilla, tell us how you got involved with this issue.
Well, thank you, Jane. I really was shocked when I went to school board meetings about 4 years ago. During the end of the COVID era, there started to be an awareness, as your audience knows, of parents realizing what was in the textbooks and in the libraries of schools, and they began to nationwide complain about them and try to bring them to the attention of the school administration and to the school board. In our situation here, they weren't listened to, the parents weren't listened to, and it really intrigued me. I thought, well, they're not listened to at the school board. They're not doing anything at the school. Maybe I'll go over to the public library and see if I can do anything there. There was one parent that complained there, and she didn't get anywhere, and it was just so obvious that they should have listened to her that I really just attached myself to that cause, and I just haven't let go of it for those 3 years, I guess you'd say. I've been heavily involved with trying to do something, mainly locally. I mean, this state bill that's pending now, Senate Bill 74, is something that just happened a year ago when Senator Max Burns from Sylvania wrote it and presented it, and then now it's in the process, of course.
On a local level, in Columbia County, what have you asked for? Explicit books be removed from the libraries, or that they be moved to an adult book section? What how are you approaching
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're doing. We haven't asked for any books to be banned. The small group of us, probably it began with two or three of us and has grown to 105 people that are interested on my interest group.
Wonderful.
But probably only about 20 of us have actually challenged books at the local Columbia County Library System. And we've been able, because of having Christian commissioners who pushed for age-appropriate guidelines, because we had a Christian DA, Bobby Christine, because we had law enforcement on our side who actually wrote up reports for me and a couple parents saying this is obscenity our children mm-hmm. are being exposed to, mm-hmm. because of all these variables, we were able to begin to have some hope here locally. Mm-hmm. And last year, 2024, 2 years ago now, they actually moved 40 books from the children's and teen section over to the adult section. However, when I did the book search, 123 more books had moved in as of last December into the teen room, and now 334 books with sexually explicit material are in the teen room. So even though we've got new library staff, we have a new library board, we have the age-appropriate guidelines, we don't have any teeth to the ordinance, really, unless there's a state law which has exempted librarians since 1984. As you said, libraries and librarians have been exempted since 1984. So this Senate Bill 74 is just a common sense 1.5-page bill that says let's undo that exemption.
Well, Priscilla,
parents to challenge books.
Let me ask you a question. Librarians, or some librarians, I know that librarians are all over on the map on this, but the ones who oppose the bill would be saying that we are overreacting to all of this, that this is not obscenity, that it's they make it sound like we're concerned about Catcher in the Rye and To Kill a Mockingbird, and the classics are going to be taken out of the library. What, without having to read passages to us, because, you know, it's a family radio network, what kinds of books with a 30,000-mile view of this are we talking about that are actually there for children?
Well, the biggest culprit is in the juvenile and in the teen rooms. And that's where you have really sexually explicit. They're still going to be, and that's what I've focused on, and that's what I've studied when I give all my numbers to the representatives. But there's still the, I consider it, sexual abuse books in the children's and the juvenile. I meant to say middle ground. Middle ground is the most troublesome. That's the middle school. And then as you go into the teen room, those are the most troublesome. Those are really explicit, sexually explicit. The others, you're going to have gray areas in some of the children's books that are having children question their gender. And if you feel like you want to be a girl, you know, you should be a girl. Teos Tutu is a perfect book example. Those kind of books, we're going to have to challenge them because they're gray areas for many people. They don't see anything. I see it as sexual abuse because you're telling a child they're not the gender God gave them. So those books will still have to individually be challenged by parents and citizens that care about the next generation and want to be active in this. But there's explicit sex in these books, and all they have to do is go to takebacktheclassroom.com and go to your state and go to your local library, and you can pull up. I'm getting my two studies mixed up here. The takebacktheclassroom.com is where you can go into your county, and it'll tell you the number of books, and you can actually go in and see the quotations from these books. You have to say that you're over 18, and then you can go in there and actually takebacktheclassroom.com is a great resource for parents to see how bad it's really gotten in the libraries and schools.
Well, we'll put that in our show notes. Now, mention to me, I presume you know something about the effect of this kind of material on a child's developing brain. Do you have any recommendations about how we could educate ourselves about that?
Well, I really was amazed at, I just read a couple books this year. One is How Pornography Harms by John Fobert, F-O-U-B-E-R-T, Dr. John Fobert, who provides intelligent reasons to fight the battle and supplies the ammunition to conquer it. And then the other one is The Porn Myth by Matt Fradd, F-R-A-D-D. Both of these list, and this was put out by Ignatius Publisher, both of these really go into a lot of studies about how early exposure to pornography leads to higher rates of sexual abuse and victimization and sex crimes, perpetration of sex crimes. So you can be on either end of the spectrum. You can be, you're much more likely to be a victim of sexual crime, or you're much more likely to commit sex crimes if you have early exposure to pornography.
We
so
had
it should be a no-brainer. Should be a no-brainer to pass SB 74.
It should be a no-brainer. We had a speaker, Dr. Michelle Critella, on 2 years ago talking about pornography and the effect it has, the physiological effect it has on children at different stages. And basically she said that what's happening is the grooming that the pedophiles used to do now are occurring in the libraries of the schools, because they're desensitizing these children to what's happening. You know what they're desensitized to. You know, to sex.
Basically. It normalizes it.
Normalizes
yeah.
it. Yeah. Well, what about the librarians? I mean, you know, I grew up thinking librarians, those, you know, they're not either right or left or anyway. They're just there presenting the books and maybe reading some of the books themselves.
Right. And that's why Senate Bill 74, and Jane, you were there. I mean, they have this wonderful compromise bill now, amendment, that's going to fully protect librarians. I mean, you would... It's very strange that they're still combating this Senate Bill 74 as we speak, because they're totally protected with the amendment in there.
So most
librarians want this bill. Yeah, they're very protected now.
What about the American Library Association, though? They seem to send witnesses every time something like this comes up.
Right. The American Library Association and the ACLU have been present at every briefing on this bill. Mm-hmm. At the different hearings, they're always there. They're against it because they may not even realize it, but they're fighting for an agenda, and it's primarily the LGBTQ agenda, because, unfortunately, I have not been able to find heterosexual early sexualizing books to be able to prove my point. So when I give my research, it looks like I'm picking on that community, LGBTQ, but I can't help it that that's the kind of books that are having explicit sex. I mean,
right.
That's just what comes up on the research. So the fact is, though, from my just personal experiences, most librarians want this bill to pass. They want to do the right thing, and they need this protection.
Mm.
Like I said at the hearing Tuesday night, Jane heard me say, I just happen to know six librarians, and four of them, though they couldn't say it publicly in their library with their library job, they are strongly for SB 74. A couple others are on the fence, but most librarians, a good example is a couple rural counties where I've talked to people. They have just taken some of these books out and hide them in the administrator's office.
Oh, good for them.
Just, you know,
yes.
But the problem is they still show up on the Internet, on the Pines catalog. You know, most of the libraries in Georgia are under Pines. There's 267 Pines libraries in Georgia. 263 of them have these books in the teen room. That's, like I said, that's my focus, the teen room. And so... these librarians want to get this stuff out, but they are jeopardizing these two rural librarians that I'm talking about. They're jeopardizing or taking a risk with their job, taking these books off the shelf, because they're not getting permission. They're not going through all the hoops and bureaucracy, you know, to do it.
And what's holding them back? Is it the American Library Association?
Well, right now they're not protected by law. because, you know, the law exempts librarians. So when they stick their neck out, they're going against what the bureaucrats or the ALA or the people above them that give them the book list to order the books to put in their library. Their hands are kind of tied. They shelve the books that they're told to shelve. Just because they're the manager of the library doesn't mean they have the complete say-so on what goes in that library. They have to follow the challenge process to get rid of them. And if we don't have a law right now to protect them, the librarians that want to do right, see, and they're the ones that aren't being represented in this whole discussion that we're having.
You are listening to AM 1160, The Quest. Priscilla Benz, founder of statewide group called Georgians for Responsible Libraries, is explaining the efforts in Georgia to prevent distribution of sexually explicit material to our children in, of all places, their school library.
Now, Priscilla, we'll talk in a little bit about things that parents or other citizens can do on the local level, but let's turn and focus directly on SB 74. So what specifically does this bill do? Right now, the current law is that it is illegal, it is criminal to provide obscene materials to children, except what?
Except if you're a librarian or if you're a library. You have the exemption by 1984 law that was passed exempting them.
And
but
so,
Senate Bill 74 would undo that exemption.
All right. So they would just be subject to the same law that bookstores, anybody else, is subject to.
Exactly, yeah. It would prohibit distributing obscene material to children by shelving them in the right place, you know, put them over in the adult section so that their parent is aware of what they're looking at.
So on Tuesday, the subcommittee of the House Judiciary Non-Civil Committee passed SB 74, and it was passed in the Senate last year. So remember, this is the
right.
Second year of a two-year session. So our understanding is, unless something has changed today, as we record here, which is Thursday, there will be a meeting, a hearing of the full committee this afternoon. Is that your understanding, Priscilla?
That's right. We have a couple people going up there to that hearing. Unfortunately, there's probably going to be a large group from the other side. It seems like there always is.
It's always, for some reason, yeah, they
yeah.
turn out. But so we don't know as we are talking what the committee is going to do with it this afternoon, but we will keep an eye on it. I'll update the chart that's on our website to let you know what's happening.
If the bill is enacted, would Georgia be an outlier among states on this issue, or are there other states that apply their obscenity law to libraries?
The neighboring states are doing better than we are, as far as they all have some law protecting children, all of the states bordering Georgia. So they are doing better than us, and the numbers of their books are lower, according to TakeBackTheClassroom.com.
Okay.
Now, I do want to add one little thing here. I got involved about the same time Judy Kraft and Rhonda Thomas started Georgians for Responsible Libraries, but they actually started that initiative, Georgians mm-hmm. for Responsible Libraries. They've had several Zoom meetings that I attended, so they were the people that started it. I hope I can start a group down here in Augusta, because we're so far away from where they live. They live up, you know, North Georgia. We need these kind of groups all over the state, is what mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
So I want to start one called Fighting Obscenity in the Children's Sections of Libraries. It would be called FOIL, F-O-I-L. That's what I want to start.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But, yeah, the neighboring states, yeah, they're doing better than us. They really are.
Well, when the people on the other side talk about this, one of the things that they always say is, well, first of all, of course, they say that these books don't exist, really. But the other thing is that, well, this would be an administrative nightmare. There is no way to go through all these books, and you're going to be sending librarians to jail, and when maybe they didn't even know there was anything objectionable in such and such a book. So looking at the states around us, the other states that have either never had the exemption or that have gotten rid of the exemption, are you aware of any problems that they have had? Are there libraries in chaos, and are there librarians sitting in jail because of this?
No, there aren't. That's what's interesting. I mean, it would have been on the news if somebody went to jail.
Yeah, I imagine so.
I think the toughest state I've heard so far is Florida is telling librarians that continue to shelve these books in the children's sections and just, you know, violating the law over and over, then they're in jeopardy of their credentials. It's called certification down in Florida. So that would be a way that a state could deal with, you know, disciplining librarians that feel strongly that they should continue to shelve these books in the children's section. But no, the jail thing is one of those things that they're trying to get in people's minds so that
sure.
We say, oh no, we don't want our librarian in jail.
But the bill has language in it that a reasonable language to protect librarians personally if they weren't intentionally responsible for this. Is that correct?
It sure does. It's very protective. The original bill was, because Max Burns was very careful to have many people look at it. The chancellor of the university system, of course, the legislative council is where the bills go through for wordsmithing and making sure they're legally sound. So he did all the things that you do to make a really good bill. And then Tuesday night, an amendment to even soften the discipline for the librarians and alleviate their fears about being prosecuted and having a record or whatever, then it really, really is protective of librarians now.
Assuming that the bill passes the committee today, I mean, we're going to be assuming and we're praying for that as well.
Yes, yes.
How can we help get this bill over the finish line in the House?
The best way to do that is to look up when the Senate Bill 74 will come up to different committees. If a person wants to be really involved, you can watch it, you know, treat it like a baby that you're watching and you watch each step. Otherwise, there are three key people that I have been told will decide whether it goes to the floor for a vote even after it goes through the Rules Committee. There's three key people on the House side, and it's in the House now, so that's where we need to do our work, our activism. The three people are Leader Chuck Estracion and Speaker Pro Tem Jan Jones and Speaker John Burns. So those are the ones that we want to focus on. I don't know if you want me to give those phone numbers.
That's okay. We'll put it in our show notes. If you can okay. find those phone numbers easily on the Georgia Legislature website, which we tout all the time, the phone, you can click on House of Representatives and then each member and you get the phone number. Also, if it were to pass the Judiciary Non-Civil Committee this afternoon, then it would go to the Rules Committee. So
that's right.
You could always contact people on the Rules Committee, because Rules Committee can vote it down and not send it to the to the floor.
That's right.
But so you can contact people on there's a link on the website to go to the Rules Committee and see who's on it, especially if your representative is on that committee, or if your representative is Chuck Estracion or Jan Jones or Speaker Burns. Call them directly and say, I am a constituent and I support this bill.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Now, back to what we mentioned earlier, what can parents do you had mentioned this a little bit, but to find out what books are in the children's library, whether it's public library or school library, is there a place that they can go online that would walk them through this? You talked about PINES, the system for the libraries in the schools. If you're starting out, you know nothing, what would you do?
Well, one thing that you can do is, if you really do you want to find those books, then you can use the same search that I used, because I was curious after I heard that first parent 4 years ago. And since they're trying, in the children and youth sections, they're trying to get kids to question their gender in these books, then I went LGBTQ+ children on my PINE search.
And what is PINE? How would somebody find, how do you find PINE?
PINE is just, if you're in the PINE system, which is most counties in Georgia, Like I said, there's 267 Pines libraries, but there are a few counties, and I can't just list them, but there's a few counties under other systems. But most people have a library card that says Pines on it.
What does that stand for?
I don't know what that stands for. It's the Pines system.
And this is for schools or for the public libraries?
This is public library.
Okay. And so they have a website.
You want to get a feel for how many of these books, right?
All right. So you go to the Pines website.
Right. And just you type in your number, your library card number, and then it gives you access to see how many of these books there are in the children's section. You could say LGBTQ plus children, LGBTQ plus youth, plus young adult, plus teen, you know, do the searches according to the age of your child. And then you could just check out one of those books, or you could just go to the library and hand that book to the circulation desk and say, I just looked through this book and I'm not comfortable with this in the children's section. Can you help me challenge this book, or could you move it to the adult section? And we know that they'll say no. But then that librarian, they're very helpful, every single librarian. I've never met a librarian that wasn't extremely helpful and professional. And they will help you with the process, because unfortunately every county is different. Every county has their policies.
On how to challenge a book.
On how to challenge a book. And the same is probably true in the school system. In the school system, I went to the media specialist, used to be called the head librarian when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. But you go to the media specialist supervisor, there's usually two or three of them for the county, and you talk to those men or women, and they'll tell you the challenge process for the school.
Is there an easy way just to find out what's in your, like in my case, it's my two grandchildren's school. Like, what's in that library at the school?
Well, that's where that takebacktheclassroom.com is really handy, because they did so much footwork, and it was a volunteer group that formed a few years ago, and so that's all online. You can just go into that website and pull up your child's school.
Okay.
And it will tell you the books. Yeah, it goes right down to the school, and the elementary schools are pretty clean. There's not, you know, you don't find many of these books in the elementary schools.
Okay.
But,
well, that's what I'm concerned about.
Still worth looking. It's really worth looking at.
They have on that website, there's like rated books and stuff. Is that?
Well, there's a ratedbooks.org that Rhonda Thomas was just telling me about that's growing and growing, and I'm not as familiar with that website. I used the Take Back the Classroom because it goes right down to your county.
Okay.
Rated Books is looking at it. You've got the book in your hand, and you want to look up that book. I'm looking at it from the other angle. I want to look at the school and see what you have that I don't want.
And we will put Rhonda's organization in our show notes, the Georgians for Responsible Libraries, and so that will help as well.
Well, thank you so very much, Priscilla. This is a lot of information, a lot of really good information that we as parents and grandparents and concerned citizens can learn about what's happening in the public libraries and in the schools, possibly their kids or their grandkids, and try to do something about it to change it. Thank you for the work that you're doing for all of us. And Jane, could you close with a prayer?
Yes. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we come to you today in thanksgiving for all of your many blessings. We thank you so much for Priscilla and for all of the people who are working with her and all the great work that they're doing. Please bless them and guide them every day, step by step, and help inspire all of us to get involved too, so that we can take back the schools, take back the classrooms, take back the libraries for the benefit of our children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This has been Legislation Made Simple, keeping you informed on political issues that implicate the teachings of the church. Listen again next week at this same time for Legislation Made Simple on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.